You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
There once was a company called Fora, or Sackwell, depending on which name you remember it by, back in 2007-2008. This was a company that was meant to be the oil play of the Public Investment Corporation and other stakeholders. It was listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange over the years. Since then, between 2011 and 2018 at least, that business had received around 760 odd million rands in financial injections from the Public Investment Corporation as the significant shareholder in that business. Today, the business remains listed on the JSE with its shares suspended for trading and the business, according to its share price, only worth around 19 million rand. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail and seeing what happened to that particular business with the founder and chair of Public Interest South Africa, Teboho Kasi, joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Teboho, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Quite the story behind this particular entity, which I suppose, given its listing, might not have been considered a state-owned entity. But from your perspective, give us a background around what you remember about this company and why it was initially something that was of interest to the Public Investment Corporation.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy, for having me. You know, you'd recall that this company did a reverse listing on the JSE to actually be listed through acquisition of an existing entity, and the intention was to ensure that it broadens its access to capital as it sought to explore other markets across Africa insofar as the oil energy is concerned. The central problem appears to be an escalation of exposure despite accumulating warning signs, which were ignored. And for us, what really matters is, and the question which I would like to pose is, or maybe self, and I'll probably answer it, is if your investments in the company has already generated sufficient concern to warrant an independent forensic investigation, what changed thereafter to justify committing hundreds of millions of rands more, which is what the board and the management have to answer and really give clear answers and not obfuscate, because there were reports even before Parliament and through Gobodo forensic investigation that pointed to that type of escalation looming, and as well as it continued to happen, and then a lot more and more money was pumped into Fora.
Teboho, as it stands at the moment, Fora is staring down the barrel of an application it is opposing in the Gauteng High Court. That is an application for liquidation. And that suggests, based on that application, that the assets of the business worth around 41 million rands, according to the audited numbers, would need to be sold off and the creditors would need to be settled. Now, according to the, if we take the JSE share price at the moment and the market cap based on that, the business effectively only worth just under 20 million rand there. A business looking very, very different from the more than 700 million rands that the Public Investment Corporation has injected into it. This a obvious concern and something that the market and the board need to be looking at, the board needing to address this. What do we make of where the business finds itself today? It doesn't seem like there might be a lot to save from a business perspective, but obviously accountability, as you mentioned, still something that's very important.
Yeah, you know, the sad thing is there are lives and livelihoods at risk when such an occurrence takes place, such as a company staring down the barrel of a potential liquidation. And the question is, as the company or the board deals with that question, you should be asking yourself, what went wrong, or could the PIC have done and managed the risk any better than they currently have? The question is obvious. The obvious question, I mean, answer is yes, but we should qualify that. We should remind ourselves or even the listeners that asset managers themselves are paid to take risk. You know, not every investment will succeed, as we all know. And it would be unfair to judge old investments such as in soft oil purely or with the benefit of hindsight. You know, oil exploration itself is an expensive business and risky business for that matter. And emerging market energy investments are inherently risky themselves. So the most serious issue is therefore not whether the PIC investment is in a company that eventually failed, It is readily that why the PC repeatedly increases exposure as a risk factor or indicators accumulated. That is where the distinction between investment risk and governance failures become critical.
To your point, Deboho, we did reach out to the Public Investment Corporation for comment on this particular matter. They noted, of course, the High Court application and the subsequent confirmation that Ifora intends to oppose this liquidation application. They also said that as a matter of principle, the Public Investment Corporation does not comment on matters that are sub judice. So, unfortunately, from that perspective, the concluding comment is that ultimately the board of Ifora exercises control over the company's affairs and will be best positioned to comment in that. And I think that speaks to your point around the distinction between investment risk and governance risk. From a governance risk perspective, what do we learn from these sorts of developments, especially where it relates to investing public funds?
There are four quick points I'd like to make just on that question alone. First, public investment institutions must distinguish commercial confidentiality from accountability. You know, the PIC cannot be expected to publish every piece of commercially sensitive information while transactions are effective. And that reminds me of what is likely or expected to happen with Eskom, where it must be confirmed or confined to PFMA rules when it liberalizes, while the rest of its competitors would not be subject to that. But once hundreds of millions of rand of beneficiaries' money appears to have been lost, there must be meaningful retrospective transparency. And the second point I would like to make is accountability must follow the decision, not merely the outcome. You know, a bad outcome from a sound, properly governed investment process is unfortunate. You know, a bad outcome resulting from ignored warnings, as in this case, you know, inadequate due diligence or repeated departures from investment managers is something altogether different. And I think it's a sorry state, and which leads me to the third dimension, which is there must be accountability for follow-on investment decisions, which in this case, it doesn't seem to have been the case. I mean, the initial 75 million rand investment may have been defensible on the information available at the time, but each subsequent 329 rand million or 360 million commitment was a new decision requiring a fresh investment thesis and fresh assessment of risk. And lastly, you know, institutional memory suffers when there's changes. If an earlier transaction had already generated a forensic investigation, as in this case, the Kobota one, those findings should have become part of the risk assessment for every subsequent decision involving that company. You know, if the PIC nevertheless decided to invest further, it should now be capable of explaining why. But like you're saying, they're now playing smoke and mirrors, hide and seek under the sub judice principle.
Some serious questions to be answered, and some even more that needs to be dealt with by management as to how it is that the business finds itself in the precarious position it is in today. For now, we'll have to leave the conversation on that note, though. Founder and Chair at Public Interest South Africa, Teboho Kas, joining us to take a look at the Ifora investment made by the Public Investment Corporation, where that business stands today, and its latest liquidation challenges.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.